So focusing on the 80% of patients with HER2 negative tumors, where you get to the point that you want to use chemotherapy for metastatic disease, either because their tumor's ER negative or they've already had hormones and they're no longer working. How do you approach the decision about what chemotherapy to use and whether to include Avastin or bevacizumab?
I think the first point that is really now very clear, and you would think it wouldn't be so clear, you'd think it would be resolved, is there is no one standard treatment for metastatic breast cancer. It's basically, we have a lot of choices, all these things work. Whatever you use the first time has the most success rate, and with less success rate, second line, third line, fourth line. But I think in this, it's really a palliative treatment, trying to control the patient's symptoms. You're not going to get cure out of this situation for the most part, except for very special situations. And you really have to balance the patient's wishes and desires, hair loss, no hair loss, how aggressive they want to be with the options. And I'm firmly in the sequential single agent camp. You have that discussion on these programs all the time. I think most of the people who come on here are in that camp, but there are a few who are sort of steadfast combination people. The combinations go higher response rate, but have a lot more toxicity. And I will occasionally present that to patients, and some patients, younger patients who want to be more aggressive, will pick that. My view on combinations changing, because I think it's different to think about combining a biologic agent with chemo as opposed to combining two chemo ray agents, which are really going to create a lot more toxicity. So, you know, the excitement at the moment is for bevacizumab in combination. And I think the big issue there, and I don't know what the situation is right at the moment, the big issue there is, will insurance cover it? I think unless you're living in a total environment where you're not worried at all about covering the costs of these treatments for patients, it's a real issue. I think most oncologists in practice can't take a chance of being months and months not being paid for bevacizumab for breast cancer. So some oncologists are able to get this for their patients, other ones cannot. That actually is an opportunity for us in U.S. Oncology because we are participating in the Ribbon 1 and the Ribbon 2 trials. These are very important studies trying to get information, you know, either first line or second line of bevacizumab with a variety of different chemo agents other than paclitaxel. And it's really important that we do that. So I'm hoping, and we kind of urge to the network that our docs think about entering patients on these trials where the bevacizumab be provided. And I think in this era of financial concerns and reimbursement, that makes a lot of sense. Plus, it'll get us the very much needed data.